This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvind Viraj.
Today's topic of discussion: would you buy from a virtual influencer? This is off the back of a story we've picked up from Fast Company about how Yumi is the new brand ambassador for the Japanese skincare brand SK-II, the latest member of a growing gang of digital humans and faux influencers. Would you buy from a virtual influencer is our question. 018-789-8899. If you want to get in touch via WhatsApp at BFM Radio on Twitter and Instagram. Any more tweets?
Yeah, so this comes from Constantly Dazed, who says, if consumables, no.
Interesting.
What consumables and why are you constantly dazed? What have you been buying?
Excuse me, I snorted.
Yeah.
You made me snort there. Brilliant. Kim, can we get any more?
No, that's it.
That's it. Okay, Frida.
All right, so round marketing distort. This came from McKinsey. Six governing considerations to modernize marketing. And of course, most chief marketing officers understand how to use data analysis algorithms to personalize marketing, drives value. So, anything from days needed for personalized customer message has been reduced drastically. They know where the money is coming from. So all this data information is very good. However, despite notable success, digital marketing has often stalled in a trial phase for years in many companies, right? Why is that? We find that the managers responsible often blame it on culture and legacy behaviors. And we don't like change.
Nobody likes change. It's comfortable where I am.
So how does one change the attitudes and behaviors of those who use the technology? Here are some suggestions. How to centralize guidance and oversight. So until a few years ago, so marketing in many companies was for the most part a national, even regional affair. While the general brand positioning communication guidelines were laid down centrally, specific concepts and individual campaigns were usually developed locally. Well, centralization is increasing again because they find that with data, they're able to fine-tune and go specifically. So data-driven personalization is overtaking this. Leading consumer goods companies are using ever greater data volumes and artificial intelligence to tailor marketing content and activation of media to ever smaller customer groups. So you're able to look into smaller groups and just sort of come up with this campaign. But I think
Instagram, for example, is a very good example.
And you can still stay clear to what your, the brand, overall brand's positioning. You don't have to go different places. So you're able to see sometimes maybe someone, in Malacca and someone in Penang, they all think the same way. You don't have to go into geo-specific details anymore. So this is how you can use it. Now, how to bring together marketing and IT, which is always a challenge, right? Up to now, collaboration between marketing staff and IT specialists has been limited to specific projects, company excursions, or the yearly holiday party. Those times are over, I said. To develop personalized content to large scale and target consumers around the world, much tighter interactions required between functions, between the heart and brain. To make that work, responsibilities and reporting obligations should be focused on specific projects and processes rather than functional reporting lines. So I guess that's how you sort of marry them, maybe call them up for a certain project when you're forced to work together. Right. How to build collaboration agility. A person's development potential, willingness to change teams at least as important as his or her formal qualifications and experience. They gave a couple of suggestions on how you can do that. Small teams, a small team of highly motivated professionals is better than a huge department that does just the minimum.
The A team.
By keeping teams small, the people involved remain clearly accountable to one another. Competition that inspires. Teams that compete encourage each other to achieve peak performance as they strive to outperform one another. It could backfire, I think, that one. New key performance indicators of more entrepreneurial spirit. So if marketing teams are measured against their contributions or outcomes, their mindsets also change. This means measuring the team against the same metrics, for example, revenue generation, profitability, as the rest of the organization. Overall responsibility, instead of division of labor, teams are accountable for the overall end result, reach goals faster, as they're incentivized to remain engaged in the entire process. So everyone wins from that. Encouraged to defend personnel changes. So a well-versed old-school marketing professional is not necessarily the first choice for digital marketing. Perhaps a change is needed. So gave a story here. One large e-commerce company has mostly given up on classical marketing functions such as brand strategy, communications, planning and the like. Instead, it has set up a community for data-driven marketing. So strategists, creative designers and data specialists work closely together and different people roll on and off the team depending on monetary requirements. So in this setting, the CMO has the flexibility to reallocate capacity and skills quickly to the most promising growth opportunities, leading to increased responsiveness and proximity to the customer at all times, while increasing employee satisfaction through diversity of responsibility and increased accountability.
Okay, so going back to the overall responsibility instead of division of labor and what you've just said there, that kind of reminds me of those projects you have at university or at college where, you know, your group project, there's always that one person that doesn't necessarily contribute as much. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily because they're lazy or whatever, but they just might not have the relevant skills for that project. So something like that at the end, these strategists or creative could be brought in to bolster up where that person has been kind of lacking, right?
So data gives you that information to be able to allocate resources properly.
Right.
How to reinvent HR to meet talent demands. That's an important one as well. So, you know, we need these people with these new skills, right, around technology. So one of the ways to remain competitive is internal recruiting. Often there are more suitable candidates among a company's own staff than some HR managers think. Pioneers of digital marketing make targeted searches for talent of this kind in their own ranks, especially in the IT department, offering them attractive incentives and conditions. So look within first. External recruiting. So competition for top digital talent is merciless and is being pursued globally. So to get the best people, successful players rely not only on appealing tasks and good pay, but also on flexible employment models and attractive career paths. So things have to be changed a little bit. Internal skill building. So the organization has to take ownership of the new digital mindset. So leading companies are therefore making targeted investments in training programs on topics such as data utilization and personalization, making them available across functions and geographies. So for existing employees to develop their skill sets in parallel with expected shifts in marketing, companies will need to use more tailored training, such as formal in-person trainings and modelized online learning options. So I think that's what needs to constantly change. What is needed in the marketplace right now, you need to be upskilled on these things. You know, and gone are the days of the traditional IT department, right? Another one is to how to build flexibility into resource planning. So McKinsey says that in their experience, 35 to 40% of current job profiles in marketing are fundamentally affected by automation. Effects are noticeable, at least partially, in a further 20 to 25%. So to accommodate for the new and rapidly changing requirements of future, companies must not only continuously upskill employees, but also make resource planning allocation within the marketing function more flexible. So I think, yeah, we like to plan the year ahead, and sometimes you just can't anymore, right? So you're able to take that into consideration. So and automation is only just moving out of its launch pad, according to McKinsey. So there is more change required to come. Another one is, the final one is how to make cultural change a continuous task. Many employees perceive the switch to data-driven marketing as a threat. It's clear that ways of working will change, all processes will change, and jobs will change or even disappear, while others will be created. So to counter this inherent fear, it's necessary to win the underlying culture battle. Not an easy one. So to make this journey easier for employees, increase the odds for successes, managers often rely on a stepwise change to roles and processes rather than a big bang. So in addition to guidance by senior marketing managers, setting aside time to adjust to change is often underestimated but crucial. So a leading e-commerce company has dissolved its central MarTech department and distributed specialists to individual teams. So this move reinforced a cultural shift from reporting to respective departments to sharing responsibility for a team and leveraging expertise where it's needed. Again, so I think at the end of the day, it's that cultural thing that people are more resistant to change. It's not that people don't have the know-how. It's not that people don't, you know, I think people are willing to learn. Sort of you give them direction and sort of make it like a more team thing. But data is there to help you drive that.
I did an interview not too long ago on the 30th of May with a company, a local company called Content Nation. The title of the podcast is Real World Digital Solutions. They really work with data-driven marketing. They've taken big brands and they've helped them out. They've also taken very small brands and helped them look at the ways in which they can kind of modernize their marketing. Worth checking out if this is a story that interests you.
Like, I mean, the number one thing that has to change is the marketing for any company, right? Like, especially when, like number six, it says how to make cultural change a continuous task. And it has to be, because that's why I think you see some companies put out their own branding or their own ads that doesn't match the times. And then you immediately look out of date. So if anything's going to change, it has to be the marketing first. Like, don't say anything that could offend people that may not amount of offended people maybe 20 years ago.
For sure.
Mm. Yeah, you know, sure. Don't keep saying those things.
Yeah, because and I think maybe the bigger companies would have invested in data-driven, you know, marketing. Mm. I don't know about the smaller companies or people who don't believe it. And you know, so the old school
the mom and pop stuff.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So they look very odd.
Right, we have to wrap up for the day. Just one final note on WhatsApp from Christopher Lim, who says, has the virtual influencer used the product before? Yeah, food for thought indeed. Thank you very much for all of your messages, your comments. The question for today was, would you buy from a virtual influencer? That's the story that we led with today. We then moved on to...
Then we spoke about Google's dataless employee mental health project called Blue Dot.
Wrapping up, of course, with Frieda's...
Six governing considerations to modernize marketing, courtesy of McKinsey & Co.
If you have missed any part of the show, don't forget the podcast is available for download very shortly via the app or and on the Google Play and on the Google Play and on Spotify. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, of course, it is the Breakfast Grill replay with Cherian Vargas. He's the regional managing director and vice president of ASEAN and SAGE for Oracle. They provide services like cloud-based softwares to do with corporate information technology, but competition in the cloud is stiff. How will Oracle keep up with the likes of Amazon Web Services? They spoke with Cherian this morning about the future of the company. That's all the time we have for today. We're going to wrap up. My name is Rich Bradbury. On behalf of Frieda Liu and Arvind Yuvaraj, this has been Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.